We've been unpacking a theme, a congregational theme for this year of inside out, where we're asking God to work from the inside out in our lives. And if you don't have Matthew 22, 37 through 39 memorized yet, you will by the time, well, we'll never exhaust these words. It's when that expert in the law came to Jesus and asked this question, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Which is the first and foremost commandment in the law?" And Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And a second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Some have called this the all command because of the several times you see the word all, with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And it reminds us that there's no room here, Jesus is saying, for divided affections or allegiance. You must love the Lord your God with all of your being. As Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot love God supremely when we love something or someone else more. It demands a supreme and total loyalty from you and me, a loyalty that begins in our hearts. But I want to zoom in on a phrase that Jesus used. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. With all your heart. What does it mean to love God with all of our heart? Well, we need to look at some things that the Bible says about the heart. A dictionary suggests that the word heart occurs over 1,000 times in the Bible, making it the most common anthropological term in the Scripture. But most of the time, it does not refer to the organ inside our chest that pumps blood. Most of the time, it refers to, as this dictionary defines it, a person's center for both physical and emotional, intellectual, moral activities. The center of one's being. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And he's not talking about this organ that pumps blood inside of us, but our heart, the center of our being, the center of our emotional, intellectual, moral activities. So guard your heart. It is the wellspring of life. Keep your heart. From it flows the spring of life. Life originates. Everything about our lives originates from within our hearts. So the heart, biblically speaking, is the center of our thinking. It's the center of our feeling, our emotions. It's also the center of our acting, our will. Jesus tells us, Matthew 12, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our words reflect the contents of our hearts. Jesus also tells us in Mark 7 that it's out of the abundance of the heart that a person acts. So again, our thinking, our feeling, our words, our actions originate in our hearts. That's what the Bible teaches us about our hearts. So no wonder the writer of Proverbs says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Again, the matter of the heart is the most important matter in our lives. But we hear this creed, and I even heard it this past week. Follow your heart. So many of the world say, follow your heart. It's a creed embraced by billions of people. It's a statement of faith and one of the great popular cultural myths of the Western world. But you'll find this creed, follow your heart, in a lot of songs, in a lot of movies, in a lot of stories. It's a belief that your heart is a compass inside of you that will direct you to your own true north if you just have the courage to follow it. It says your heart is a faithful guide that will lead you to true happiness if you just have the courage to listen and to act. The creed says you are lost and your heart will save you. And it sounds so simple, so sublime, even liberating. It's a tempting gospel to believe. But we need to understand this. The truth is, your heart has narcissistic tendencies. Narcissistic, that comes from a Greek myth. That word comes from a Greek myth about a young man named Narcissus. He was a handsome Greek youth who rejected the desperate advances of the nymph Echo. And because of that, she put him under a curse. And as punishment, his curse was that he was doomed to fall in love with his own reflection in the water. And so Narcissus lived out his days gazing at his own reflection in the water. He was enamored with his appearance. He had eyes only for himself. He gazed constantly at his own reflection in the pool. That's the history. That's the background of this word, narcissism. Narcissism is defined as excessive love or admiration of oneself. And the truth of the matter is, our hearts have narcissistic tendencies. Without proper guidance, in fact, unless our hearts are changed, our hearts are not good guides. My heart tells me that all of reality ought to serve my desires. My heart tells me that I'm the center of my universe. My heart likes to think the best of me and the worst of others. That is, unless you think good of me, and then you're right on target. But if you don't think well of me, or even if you just disagree with me, something's wrong with you. And while my heart is pondering my virtues and others' errors, it can suddenly find some immoral or horribly angry thought very attractive. Follow your heart. Listen to what Jesus says. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Follow your heart. The truth is, our hearts can deceive us because they can be deceived. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Listen to what John Bloom says about our unguided hearts. The truth is that no one lies to us more than our own hearts. No one. They don't tell us the truth. They tell us what we want. They're not benevolent. They are pathologically selfish. In fact, if we do what our hearts tell us to do, we will pervert and impoverish every desire, every beauty, every person, every wonder, every joy. Our hearts want to consume these things for our own self-glory and self-indulgence. No, our hearts will not save us. We need to be saved from our hearts. The truth is, our hearts were never designed to be followed, but to be led. That's something we need to grasp. Our hearts were never designed to be followed. They were designed to be led. Our hearts were never designed to be gods in whom we believe. They are designed to believe in God. If we make our hearts gods and ask them to lead us, they will lead us to narcissistic misery and ultimately condemnation. They cannot save us because what's wrong with our hearts is the heart of our problem. The truth is, our hearts were designed to love. But we must be sure to love the right things in the right way. So don't believe your heart. Don't follow your heart. Direct your heart to believe in God. Don't follow your heart. You follow Jesus. Don't love yourself supremely and narcissistically. That kind of love will lead to misery and destruction. Rather, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And he's quoting from the Old Testament. This is the first and foremost commandment. This is the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Without one's will, our desires, our passions, our affections, perceptions, and thoughts, all of which are functions of our hearts, biblically speaking, without all those things rightly aligned, the life of love is impossible. And I want you to see, and again, this passage that we're just diving into over this month. Notice the order. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. And a second is likened to it, love your neighbor as you love yourself. God, others, self. That's the proper order. Loving self supremely, getting it out of order, is putting the wrong thing first. And that's what happens when we follow our unguided hearts. So the truth is, again, our hearts were designed to love, yes. But we must be sure to put first things first. And Jesus says, to get it right, we got to love the Lord our God with all our heart. What does that look like? I want to briefly mention two ways to express that love for God first. And one way is to worship God from the heart, to worship Him from the heart. And when we consider who God is and what He has done and is doing and will do for us, our response should be worship from the heart. It should be heartfelt worship. Jesus says, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. And see, that to me, that's a companion to this command, this greatest command, to love God supremely with all of our being, with all of our heart. You see, only God is worthy of our worship, and only God is worthy of our supreme love. So one way we can express that supreme love for God is in our worship. By the way, Jesus also tells us that if we don't worship God from the heart, then our worship is vain. Matthew 15, verse 8. A second way to express that love for God supremely is to obey Him from the heart. Romans 6:17 says, thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You obeyed from the heart, New King James states it. That form of doctrine to which you were delivered. If you look at it contextually, he's talking about how they had obeyed the gospel. How they had obeyed the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus by being baptized into Christ, by dying to sins and being buried with Him in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. And he says, you did that from the heart. You obeyed from the heart with all of your being. You understood that it's only because of Jesus that you can be saved from your sins. And the only way you can come in contact with that cleansing blood is to go through that form of that doctrine, that death and burial and resurrection. And he says, you obeyed from the heart. You used to be slaves to sin, but you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Jesus says, if you love me, how do you demonstrate it? If you love me, keep my commandments. If we're going to love God supremely, we're going to worship Him with all of our hearts. We're going to obey from the heart. Loving God with all of our hearts. What does that mean? Two final things. Our affections determine our devotion. Our affections determine our devotion. Affections, what we like, what we love, what we truly care about. What we truly care about determines our devotion. You see, our affections, what we truly care about, they're like deep currents that steer our lives. They're like the rudder of a ship that directs our lives. What directs our lives? What we truly care about, our affections. And how do we determine what our affections are? What occupies our time? What do we think about? What motivates our actions day in, day out? What shapes our aspirations? What gets our attention? What drives us? Those are our affections. And whatever those affections are will determine our devotion. And secondly, our affections follow what we treasure. Our affections follow what we treasure. The devotion of our hearts is determined by wherever we find value as our greatest treasure. Here's another statement from Jesus that I think really defines it for us, what it means to love God with all of our heart. Matthew 6:21. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The heart loves what it treasures. We have to find this great treasure, and when we discover it, love follows. It's akin to what Jesus said in Matthew 13, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. He's found that treasure, and his treasure has directed all of his affections toward it. To love God with all your heart means to treasure God above all. It means to treasure God above all. Because our affections follow what we treasure. And so that invites some introspection in our lives. We have to ask ourselves regularly, what is it that I'm treasuring? What is it that consumes my thoughts? What is it that takes up my time? What is it that I am so willing to devote my energies to? That answers what we treasure. And what we treasure tells us where our heart is. What's your greatest treasure? Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's the first and greatest commandment. And as we've already sung in songs this morning, boundless love, that's the kind of love that God expresses to us, especially in the gift of His Son. And that love should be easy to reciprocate when we understand just how much He loves us. When we understand, when we even begin to grasp how much God loves us, we should treasure Him and desire to demonstrate our love right back to Him. If this morning, if you find your treasure in Christ and are ready to demonstrate that through your obedience to the gospel, we hope and pray that you'll do that even this morning. If, as we've done some introspection this morning, if we've determined we haven't been loving God supremely, there's some changes we need to make. And you may desire the prayers of the church on your behalf to that end. Folks, we need to get it right. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's your treasure this morning? If we need to commit or recommit our lives to following Jesus, we invite you to respond to the invitation of Jesus this morning. And won't you come right now as we stand and sing.